Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
Come on, let's pray before we start the word. We get into the word this morning. God, we thank you for your presence here in this place. And we just pray, God, that you would come. Lord, I just pray that you would help me to bring the word in a way that ministers in the way that you would want it to. And Holy Spirit, that you would just go out and have your way in each and every person's heart today. Let your will be done. You take the wheel. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, last week we heard this incredible message from our senior pastor, Ken Lee, about how we can find great joy in Jesus. Great joy in Jesus. And it was such a powerful word because it's not just about the Christmas season, but it is a message, it is a revelation, it is a word that you can carry through every season of life, that we find great joy in Jesus. And one of the most powerful statements he made was this, that great joy is our rightful inheritance. Say rightful inheritance. Because of Jesus Christ. It's our rightful inheritance because of Jesus Christ. But who knows, there are times in life where joy just seems to be completely elusive, where you can look at your circumstance, you can look at your situation, and you can go, I can't see my rightful inheritance in there anywhere. That I can't see that great joy coming for me anywhere in this situation or in this circumstance. You know, I remember a season that Mark and I went through when we both had, we had our boys. They were very young. We've got two boys, by the way. And when they were very young, we had this like really hectic life going on. And I'm sure that many of you here can relate, but Mark was commuting quite a distance to work and he was working long hours. I was working part-time and we were volunteering heaps for our church, and every single day just seemed like Groundhog Day. Who can relate to that? Every single day just seemed like Groundhog Day. It was just get everybody up, we just get everything packed, and we'd all go out of the house to daycare or work or school or church or whatever day it was. And then it was like go, go, go all day, come home, everybody's getting washed and bathed and eating and probably all in the wrong order, and then going to bed, and then press repeat for the next day and the next day and the next day. And it just felt relentless. And were we happy? Yeah, we were happy. But did we have great joy? Well, I don't know. I don't know. And you know, we would get to the end of those kinds of days and Mark and I would be sitting on the couch, half asleep or maybe lying in bed, and we would say things like this: when life slows down, then. Or when we get a handle on all this, then. And we had this when-then conversation. But you know what? That when, it never did arrive. That when has never arrived. Life looks different now, and some of those issues got resolved, but new ones just took their place. And it just different kind of pace, different kind of situations, but nothing really has changed. It hasn't slowed down. We didn't get more of a handle on it either. But what did change over that time has been the orientation of our hearts. What has changed has been the orientation of our hearts. We have changed. So now instead of waiting for things to get better, instead of waiting for things to change or things to shift, we found that we can find joy in the now, that we can find joy in our present. You see, joy, God had joy in our future, but he wanted to bring joy right now in that situation, in that circumstance where we were. You see, joy doesn't find you, you find joy. You find joy. Joy isn't something to wait for. Joy isn't something to wait for to come into your life in the form of a check or Mr. Right or Miss Right or a dream job or good health or a final release from that problem or that difficulty. But joy is something for you to find in every season of your life. And so today I want to share with you on the thought of finding joy. Finding joy. One of the most well-known scriptures, I think, in the Bible about joy, or that people would know about joy is Nehemiah 8 verse 10. And in that scripture, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And this is such a powerful statement to make. And if you look at the context of it, it was spoken by Ezra the prophet to a group of Israelites who had returned home to their ruined city of Jerusalem. And they'd spent time rebuilding the walls. And now they stood in those ruins, surrounded by those new walls. And he began to read the scriptures out to them. And as Ezra did that, the Israelites became aware of the terrible mistakes they had made and the devastation that had taken place in their city. And they began to weep and they began to cry. And as they did that, Ezra corrected them. And he said, now's not the time to grieve. Now's not the time to weep, but it's time for you to find joy in the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, he knew that if this flagging generation could find joy, that they would be able to step in strength into the next thing that God had for them. No matter what it looks like around them, that they would find strength if they found joy. You see, the original text from this statement, from this sentence, Ezra used this word, which is going to come up on the screen, this Hebrew word for strength. And it meant a place of me or means of safety or protection, a force, a fortress, a rock, a place of strength. In most cases, it meant a stronghold. This is what joy is. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is a place or means of safety or protection. The joy of the Lord is a force, a fortress, a rock. It is a stronghold. It is a stronghold. You know, so often in difficult situations, we think we need strength to carry us through. God, just give me strength. God, just give me the power to get through this. We think that we need to bunker down and hold everything else at arm's length so that we can focus our strength on that situation until we can see it come to pass. But what we really need is joy, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. That the joy found in Jesus can bring strength to every season, because that joy is not dependent on our circumstances. It's not dependent on our circumstances. That joy is a stronghold. And if you don't know what a stronghold is, it was a defensive position that somebody could set up if they were in a battle. They would take a stronghold, and it was a place that was fortified. It was a place that the enemy couldn't get into. It was a place that could not be moved. It was a stronghold. And that is what joy can be in your life. It is a stronghold against the attack of the enemy. So when that bill comes to you that you cannot pay, even though it can be a shock, even though it can put you back a little bit financially, you are standing firm in that stronghold of joy that says, I will not be moved no matter what comes against me. So when that diagnosis comes, we can stand firm in the joy of the Lord, because it is our stronghold and it will not move us. That is the power of finding your strength in the joy of the Lord. You see, that joy we find in Jesus, it never changes, it never shifts. Jesus is the same today and yesterday and forever. He's not restricted or challenged by your circumstances or by anything that comes against you. He's not surprised. He's not going, oh no, what shall I do? In him, you will find joy for every single season. He's not waiting for things to get better. He's not saying when they get a handle on that, then we'll, you know, maybe joy will come for them. He has joy for you right now, whatever situation you are in. So today I want to share an account from scripture with you about two men called Paul and Silas. And I love this account. It's from Acts 16. It talks about these guys that had this incredible, miraculous encounter with God and the outcome of that, but also about how they found joy in really difficult situation. So can we have Acts 16 up on the screen? Thank you. About midnight, it says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. How incredible. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He and his whole household. How incredible was that? That is such an incredible outcome to see that jailer and his whole household come to know the Lord. But what is equally as incredible is what Paul and Silas chose to do in the most darkest of situations. They chose to position themselves in that stronghold of joy. In that stronghold of joy. We didn't read the lead up to this scripture, but what took place was that Paul and Silas were unfairly arrested. And when they were arrested, the people who arrested them made them strip off all their clothes and they beat them with rods. It says in scripture that they were severely flogged. Almost sounds like an Aussie wrote that one, doesn't it? But they were severely flogged. And then they were put into the innermost dungeon, which is the dungeon that was reserved for the worst of the worst. And it had no lighting whatsoever. It was the darkest, dingiest, most horrible place for them to be placed. And on top of all that, they were put into stocks. And stocks were clamps put around their legs that held them in this really kind of awkward position that caused them to cramp and caused them to be in pain and discomfort. And that's where they were when they began to praise God. That's when they were when they began to pray. How incredible is that? That they chose not to look at their circumstances, but to go, "I am finding joy in the Lord right now. I am positioned in that stronghold of joy, and I find all my strength in Him." How incredible is that? And so as they began to pray, as they began to praise Him and they chose joy in that situation, everything shifted in that place. You see, when we find joy in a difficult situation like Paul and Silas did, we have to make a conscious decision to find joy. When you find something, you don't just kind of like accidentally have something fall in your lap, but you have to make that conscious decision to take hold of that joy, to find that joy. And that's what Paul and Silas did in that moment. They chose to fix their attention not on their situation, but on the joy that comes from the Lord. And can I suggest to you today that just like what took place for Paul and Silas in that dungeon, that when we choose to find joy in Jesus in a difficult time, that the options available to us in that moment or in that season begin to change and begin to shift. You know, when Mark and I were first engaged, we went to visit my family in Queensland. And we went out to dinner with my family. And I probably should have warned Mark about my mum before we went out to dinner, because something that my mum still does to this day is she very rarely orders something off the menu. So we were sitting around the table. We all had our menus. And then the waitress came out and began to take our orders. And when she got to my mum just closed the menu and put it down on the table and then just started to talk to the waitress about what she would like to have to eat at this restaurant, which was not on the menu. And so my mum was like, is quite a clean eater who was vegan before it was cool to be vegan. And she had she had she loved to eat salad, so she starts to explain to the waitress the kind of salad that she would like to have for this meal. And the waitress just stood very wide-eyed and just took all these little notes down about the kind of salad that Mum would like to have and then disappeared and sorted it all out. But you know what? I shared that account with you today, that story with you today, because we so often look at our circumstances and we think that is the only menu available to us. That is the only option. But when you are faced with difficult circumstances, it's not time to look at what that circumstance is offering you, but it's time to close that menu, put it on the table and say, well, actually, I'm ordering something off the menu. I'm going with what my Lord has for me. And in Him, I find joy. And in Him, I find breakthrough. And in Him, I can conquer all things because of what He has done for me. He causes us to be able to choose off the menu. There are so many more options available than what life presents to you when you choose to find your joy in the Lord. It doesn't mean that we can just ignore our problems or be irresponsible. We still need to do what we need to do. We still need to give it our all and do what needs to be done. But the difference is where our attention is fixed. The difference is what we are dependent or who we are dependent on. You know, Pastor Ken said it so well last week. He said, joy is not about what is happening around us. It is about what is happening in us. You know, when Paul and Silas chose joy in that dungeon, all of their options changed. Everything shifted. Everything became different. And that is the same for you and I. That is the same in every situation that we face, every circumstance, as we choose to find our joy in the Lord and not what is presented before us. Everything can change. In 2 Corinthians 4:8, Paul wrote this. He wrote, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of the Lord Jesus may be manifested in our body." You know, Paul came to know through his life that jail time he served was not the only time he was in jail. It wasn't the only beating he got. Again and again, he faced trials, he faced challenges. But Paul knew that in living life with Jesus, when he chose to find joy in difficulties, he chose to find joy in his suffering, that through what was taking place, Christ was put on display. That Christ was put on display. That the life of the Lord Jesus was manifested in his life. He was being put on display as though he was pressed in, he was not crushed. As when he was perplexed, he was not forsaken. As when he was struck down, he was not destroyed. Every time he did that, Christ was being put on display in his life. Christ was being on display in his life. You know, when we choose to find joy in the Lord in every single season of life, it points those around us to Jesus. It points those around us to Jesus. You know, this week I was speaking to someone who had just had surgery for cancer. And when I got off the phone to them, I was just like, wow. They're just like Paul and Silas. They are singing God's praises. They are declaring the faithfulness of God. They were choosing to find joy in Jesus. I cut off that phone call encouraged because of what that person was speaking over their situation and over their life. They were choosing to find that joy. They had placed themselves in that stronghold. They acknowledged that though they were being hard pressed, but they were not being crushed. They were not being destroyed. And that the life of Jesus was being manifested in them. He was on display. And so this brings me to this question. If Paul and Silas didn't choose to find joy in their circumstances, what would the ramifications have been for that jailer and his family? If they choose in that dungeon to focus their attention on their pain, to focus their attention on the darkness, to focus their attention on the depression and the closing in of those walls, and chose not to find their joy in Jesus Christ. Who might have missed out on seeing Jesus on display in them? Who might have missed out? You know, our community is crying out for that authentic Christianity. They're crying out to see people like you and I, normal people. We're pretty normal. Normal people who face the world and all of its challenges. Normal people who are not perfect but live their lives in dependence on the one who is. Who hide themselves away in that stronghold where they find their joy in the Lord. This is what our community is looking for. This is what we want them to see on Saturday at Love Community Day. That this is the Jesus they are looking for. It's not hype. It's not something that we conjure up, but it's a genuine faith lived by genuine people who are following after a genuine God. You know, when we choose to find joy in Jesus, we step out beyond our circumstances and the others around us can see him. No matter what's happening, no matter what season we're in, Jesus can be on display in our lives. Band, you can join me. You know, when I was a new Christian, I got this idea somehow that I had to present this joyful exterior. I had this idea somehow that I had to be happy all the time, that I had to smile and everything had to be well. And so I put on this pretense of being somebody who was joyful, of being somebody who could always just be upbeat and be positive no matter what was going on in my life. And that situation, that approach, that attitude became a place of striving for me because I wasn't doing it with the help of Jesus, because I was choosing just to present an exterior that was joyful without any dependence on him. I'm not ever acknowledging the challenges of my life, not ever acknowledging the imperfections and the failings that I struggled against, but just presenting that joyful exterior. Everything's okay. I'm all fine. That's not what finding joy in Jesus is about. Last week we heard Pastor Ken share about the fruit of the Spirit. You can read about it in Galatians. It tells us that joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you see, what I discovered as I journeyed through my life with Jesus is that I didn't have to do it on my own, that there was an empowerment of his Holy Spirit that would come into my life and cause me not to have to strive to try and be someone I'm not, that it wasn't about trying to be perfect, but it was just about being a carrier of his Holy Spirit, and that as I relied on him, as I rested on him, I wasn't about denying my imperfections, it wasn't about denying my circumstances, but it was just about saying that I find my joy in Jesus Christ, that it's not about trying to pretend or be anything that I'm not, but that I find my joy in him. And when I'm hidden in that stronghold, in that place of his strength, then his Holy Spirit can move through me and work through me. You know, when Jesus started his ministry, he declared this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And what did that Spirit do through him? Bound up the brokenhearted, set the captives free, released people from oppression, gave sight to the blind. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do through you and through me. And all it takes is us just to say, "I find my joy in the Lord," that the joy of the Lord is my strength, that I can be hidden in that stronghold, and in that place, people will see what you have and they'll want that too. Come on, let's stand to our feet.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.